Bridgebank helps breakthrough ideas actually break through and remains dedicated to providing financial solutions to the risk takers, the game changers, and the disruptors. Bridgebank, a division of Western Alliance Bank. Bridgebank, be bold, venture wisely.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Madi Bolaños in San Francisco, and here are your state headlines. Governor Newsom says he'll introduce legislation that would help Arizonans get abortions in his state. This comes after the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the state should follow a law from the 1860s that bans nearly all abortions.
Right now, a big part of my focus and why I'm so focused on Arizona and providing doctors from Arizona the ability to come into California through emergency legislation we'll introduce with our Women's Caucus this week.
On Monday, a case about homelessness from Grants Pass in Southern Oregon was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court. The court is expected to rule before the term ends in June. And as Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports, the justices seem divided on the matter.
23-175, City of Grants Pass versus Johnson.
The question before the Supreme Court is whether it's cruel and unusual punishment for the city to enforce its public camping laws through tickets and fines when there aren't enough shelter options. The city argues that people are being punished for violating public camping laws, not simply for being homeless. But Justice Elena Kagan said the city's ordinances do seem to be punishing homeless people simply for having no other place to sleep.
And your statute says that person cannot take himself and himself only and can't take a blanket and sleep someplace without it being a crime.
The court's decision in this case could have national implications for how cities could regulate public camping laws. For the California Report, I'm Jane Vaughn.
A San Francisco lawmaker's bill to allow police to ticket scofflaw robo-taxis has passed its first test in the state legislature. KQED's Dan Brecky reports.
Assemblymember Phil Ting says that when drivers fail to obey the rules of the road, police can pull us over and cite us. But when a vehicle's driver is a computer?
Right now, because there's no driver, there's nothing in our state law that says you can cite a company, that you can hold a company liable.
Ting's AB 1777 would allow police to write tickets to robo-taxi operators. The measure would also make it possible for officers to get a real-time response from the companies when problems arise with their vehicles or to keep them away from emergency scenes and construction zones. The Assembly Transportation Committee approved the bill unanimously, and it moves to the Appropriations Panel next. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecky.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Hi there. I'm Rund Abdelfattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
For many young parents in L.A., buying a home with enough space for kids is out of reach. And so is renting a family-sized apartment. LAist housing reporter David Wagner looks at L.A.'s lack of family-friendly housing and what it means for life in Southern California.
Jasmine Delgado flips through an old family photo album at the dining room table of her childhood home near Culver City. She pauses on a snapshot of her dad in Venice in the 1960s.
I think you could probably recognize like the boardwalk right there.
Another captures farm workers on strike in the 30s. Her grandfather picked celery back when the West Side still had lots of farmland. Now, Delgado worries she and her infant son, Theo, may have to sever these deep roots.
And it, like, breaks my heart. Like, I'm a West Side girl through and through. I was born and raised here. My dad was born and raised here. I just don't know if Theo is going to be able to be raised here.
A severe lack of affordable family-sized housing across LA has many millennial parents confronting the same dilemma. 30 years ago, about 40% of local households could afford a median-priced home, according to the California Association of Realtors. Today, that number has fallen to just 11%. Renting isn't much easier. City planners estimate it costs $4,000 a month to rent a three-bedroom, putting kid-friendly apartments out of reach for anyone earning less than double LA's median income. At 31, Delgado is now raising Theo in her parents' home.
I want a house for us, even in just a space of our own. It doesn't have to be a house, but it seems impossible in Los Angeles.
Half of young Californians tell pollsters they've considered moving due to housing costs. For now, many are trying to make apartment life work. Brianna Mercado is 35, raising two young kids with her husband. They recently moved into a two-bedroom apartment in Eagle Rock after an eye-opening search.
I think that I was very naive in what I thought would be available to us. There just weren't really three-bedroom homes that were within our price range.
Mercado is still settling in. Flipping through boxes of art, she's excited to hang on the walls. She admits the space sometimes feels tight.
When I'm tired, but then the kids are bouncy, it can be difficult. Or if my husband's wanting to, like, cook up a storm, but I'm wanting to chill.
Mercado doubts her family will be able to buy a home in LA anytime soon. The prices, she says, are too outrageous. With families delaying kids or fleeing LA, public schools are starting to close. The number of K-12 students in greater LA has fallen 15% in the last decade. That's the sharpest decline in the state. Don Fisco and his wife want to have kids soon, but space is at a premium in their two-bedroom mid-city apartment. He works from home as a film and TV editor.
Not only are we trying to find a place that will be able to accommodate a work-from-home situation for not one but two people, have a space for a kid, but also for my retired father.
At 36, Fisco wishes people understood that couples his age really are trying.
Millennials are late 30s and in their 40s. They're not like goofing off and partying. We want the ability to be lame and settle down, and we just have structural problems that are preventing us from doing that.
Moving back in with her parents gave Jasmine Delgado plenty of room for her son's toys. She likes seeing him bond with his grandparents, but she and her partner have discussed moving to Wyoming to buy a house.
That reminds me of how communities start to fracture when people have to move far away from the places that they have roots, families, friends, jobs, memories.
Delgado wants to stay. She knows she probably can't much longer. For the California Report, I'm David Wagner in Los Angeles.
And that is the California Report for Tuesday, April 23rd. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Madi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Monterey Bay Aquarium, inspiring conservation of the ocean through amazing live exhibits and global action to protect the ocean from plastic pollution, climate change, and overfishing. The California Healthcare Foundation, listening to Black Californians, a new study on how the healthcare system undermines the pursuit of good health, on the web at chcf.org/LBCA. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy works to create a healthy, resilient, secure world for all, on the web at theschmidt.org.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as, like, the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.